This conference is being recorded.
Hare Krishna, this is Rajeshri.
Hemant.
Hare Bol, Hemant Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for joining in.
Thank you for arranging this.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Nirupama Dandamudi.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, this is Ganesan here.
Hare Krishna, Ganesan.
Vaisheshika Das.
Hare Bol, Prabhu, please accept our humble obeisances.
Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Good morning, everybody. Hare Krishna.
Morning, Prabhu.
Morning.
So, Loka, everyone knows how to mute, just in case there's background noise?
Yeah, again, let me repeat. We'll mute, but I had a suggestion. Before muting, maybe everybody can announce their name so we know who all are on the conference call.
Hello, Murli Puroit.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna Prabhu, this is Murli Purohit.
Jai Murli, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, this is Ganesan here.
Jai, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Ram here.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol Prabhu, it's me, Nirupama.
Hare Krishna.
Hemant from Fairfax.
Jai, Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Jai, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, this is Radhika.
Jai, Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. This is Pallavi.
Jai, Pallavi. Hare Krishna, please accept mine. Hari Bol.
Hare Bol, this is Deva Prastha.
Jai, Deva Prastha. Hare Krishna.
Jan Padmalani. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Jai, Hare Krishna.
तो कंटेंट लग गया है आवाज ऐसे आ जाए वो कैसे करेंगे
जाइ प्रभु फाइन थैंक यू हरे कृष्ण थैंक यू
टू म्यूट यू हैव टू प्रेस स्टार 6
फोन हैज फोन सो
But if somebody wants to ask a question, then they may have to, you know, press something else, right?
I was wondering, like, after Prabhu starts speaking, then we'll open it for questions. And,
yeah.
And then you can again press star 6 to unmute it, so. Some noise coming from somebody's phone.
Some kind of buzz.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Loka?
Yes, Prabhu.
Should I go ahead?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhatantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatyate Shutarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a pleasure to be here speaking this morning because this is the main purpose of human form of life, is to hear about Krishna, discuss about Krishna. And by the process of hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, then the heart becomes purified. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita points out that we are all eternally servants of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karai Udoi. And only we've been covered over by the material energy, the process of devotional service is one of purification. By hearing about Krishna, the sound vibration which comes from the spiritual realm, any covering that is blocking our eternal relationship with Krishna becomes purified. And then our eternal relationship with Krishna is revealed. So today's topic for discussion is entering the ocean of devotional service. And this is how Rupa Goswami has presented the beginning of the nectar of devotion, and that is that devotional service is like an ocean. And the great acharyas are compared to sharks who swim in that great ocean, and they don't ever care for the rivers of liberation. The ocean is always being filled with these rivers, but the sharks don't care for them at all. So every living entity is looking for some kind of attractive service. But everyone in the material world is left unsatisfied by the kind of service that he or she gets. This is called bhogatyag. There's some attractive service under the three modes of material nature. But as we know from Bhagavad Gita, happiness contaminated by the modes of material nature leads to different kinds of distress and bewilderment. And so anyone who takes up the endeavor for happiness in the material world ends up wanting to renounce it. So this is called bhogatyag, starting with the idea of enjoyment and then ending up with the idea of giving it all up again. And also Rupa Goswami describes that there are different standards of happiness. Material happiness, according to the vision of spiritually advanced people, is not happiness at all, because actually it leads to distress ultimately, and it's called chapala sukh. It's just a flickering kind of happiness. If you're wandering in the desert and you're dying of thirst and someone says, I will give you water, and then when they actually give you water, they give you one tiny drop from an eyedropper, you but it's not water. But it's not enough. It's just water in name only. So what we're looking for is the real water, and that's available in the ocean of devotional service. So the Goswamis, who are acting under the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have compiled their literatures to direct us to that ocean, to show us how to drink that real water. And this is what it means to enter into the ocean of devotional service. It means to follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas and to follow step by step how they're instructing us to enter into this ocean. So devotional service means service to Krishna. And Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas. He's who everyone's looking for. Yene Ravindaksha Vamuktamaninas, Toyasta Bhavad of Ashuda Buddhaya, Aruya Krichchena Paramparam Tata, Patantyato Nadrita Yushmarangraya, say the demigods who are praying to Lord Krishna within the womb, that everyone's imagined position of happiness in the material world is a temporary thing. The only thing that will really satisfy us is reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says that Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas, of all relationships. And those include neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, conjugal love, and there are many sub-rasas as well listed by Rupa Goswami. So a very important definition is given by Rupa Goswami of what devotional service is and how we can enter devotional service and understand how we're following the path. He gives the verse, Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma nyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. He says when first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruit of action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably, Krishna desires. So in the beginning, as we're entering devotional service, this is our standard, that we must be free from all material desires. But by definition, someone entering any kind of process is not perfect when they start. There must be a beginning period of purification. So actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur encourages us that in sadhana bhakti, means the beginning stage when we're practicing devotional service, we may not be pure, but if our goal is to serve Krishna, we're considered pure. That's how powerful devotional service is. If we're not sincere, if we're sincere about being sincere, then that's also considered being sincere. So if our intention is to serve Krishna as we enter into this process of bhakti, then we're considered pure, even if we're still afflicted by some kind of material desires. Also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this anya bilashita shunyam, that means being freed from material desires, in our normal consciousness, we should always be ready to serve Krishna. But sometimes, in extreme danger or abnormal circumstances, we may pray to Krishna for safety. Like Gajendra in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he was overcome by the crocodile who pulled him down into the water, finally he prayed to Krishna and said, I know pure devotees don't ask you for anything, but I'm in a very rough situation right now and I need your help. So, in normal consciousness, our desire is to serve Krishna, but even if we're in some extreme danger and we pray to Krishna for safety, this is not outside the realm of devotional service. And in the verse, it says, free from the desire for karma and jnana, which really goes to the heart of pure faith, which is the main requirement for entering devotional service. This is a definition given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of what this faith is. Shraddha Shabdi Vishwas Kahe Surida Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Kritahoy. And that firm faith means that I understand that just by serving Krishna, everything else is done perfectly. Devarshi Bhutapnam Rinam Pitrinam Nakinkaro Nayan Ranicharajan Sarvatmaraya Sharanam Sharanyam Katomukundam Pariyatrita Kartam. Karabhajana Muni says, we're all born with some kind of obligation to the demigods, to our forefathers, to ordinary living entities who serve us, like cows and dogs and other people. And we have a great debt to pay, even from our last life. And we accumulate debt even from the beginning of our life to our parents and others when we're born into this world. But one who gives up everything for Krishna and whose main intention in life is to serve Krishna, is free from those debts. So one who understands this principle, as Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita, that surrender to Krishna, giving everything to Krishna, no longer obligates one to ordinary karma. One understands that just by serving Krishna, everyone else will be satisfied, everything else will be taken care of. This is called firm faith. So sometimes people might think that they have some duty to perform, and we have duties to perform, and we go on with those duties. But if someone thinks, for instance, if they don't perform some karmic ritual, that my bhakti will suffer, this is a mistake, because karma and jnana are not dependent on bhakti. Or bhakti is not dependent on karma and jnana, rather.
Yeah,
those are, jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayat yashu vairagyam jnanam cha yaduhaitukam. When one performs bhakti, automatically one gets knowledge and detachment from the world. And so we're not dependent on anything but Krishna. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that our regular activities to maintain our body are not outside the realm of bhakti. Like if you have to go to work or talk to non-devotees, that's not outside bhakti, if we're doing our activities to please and serve Krishna. So when we begin a regulated life of devotional service, this goes to the term Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. This means actually perpetually, 24 hours a day, serving Krishna. I heard Srila Prabhupada yesterday speaking about this, and he said, when one becomes advanced in devotional service, he or she will be performing service to Krishna 24 hours a day without stopping. Then he said, even in one's sleep, one will remember Krishna. And he remembered a merchant that he once knew. He was a Vaishya, and he had a shop, and he was selling all day long. And so Prabhupada noted that this man was so absorbed in selling that Prabhupada saw once when this man was sleeping that he was quoting prices in his sleep. So Prabhupada said, as we absorb ourselves more and more in Krishna consciousness, actually, this will be the nature of our consciousness, that even in our sleep we'll remember Krishna. However, as we're entering the process of devotional service, this may not be possible to be engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna service. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur defines Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, this constant 24-hour connection, service to Krishna, that at least every day we must perform our service to Krishna in a regulated fashion. We may have other duties to perform, but at least we should finish our sadhana, we should complete that. Then, gradually, pramanais tatsaracharais tarabhyasair nirantaram bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktimapyutamam lubet. In the Brahma Samhita, the Lord tells Lord Brahma that by slow degrees, one will gradually become purified by engaging one's senses in the service of the Lord. So Rupa Goswami also points out that devotional service is a kind of cultivation, and Prabhupada coined this phrase, devotional service, instead of just saying devotion, which may be some feeling. Someone says, maybe I have this feeling of devotion. But what is the proof of your faith? How are you actually engaging your senses in Krishna's service in some favorable way? So devotional service means an active cultivation, that I must take up this process of regulating the senses in the service of the Lord. And this is the very beginning. This is the sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, where I regulate the senses. By that, Krishna becomes inclined to reveal himself to a devotee. It's not a cheap process. Great sages, devotees, like Dhruva Maharaj, they go to great lengths to realize the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj realized that he was being neglected by the king because his mother was not the main queen. He became furious, even as a little boy, and he wanted to go off to the forest to find God because his mother told him that's where you'll find him, and he can help you. He's the only one to turn to at this point. So when he left the kingdom to go off to find God in the forest, Narada Muni intercepted his path and asked him where he was going. Now, interesting about this pastime is that it's mentioned that Narada Muni overheard the conversation, Dhruva Maharaj, with his mother. But Prabhupada points out in his commentary, how is it that he overheard this? He wasn't even in the area. And the answer is that Krishna is the super soul within everyone's heart, and he informs the devotee, and he informs the spiritual master to help the devotee. So Narada Muni knew by the mercy of the Lord within his heart that Dhruva Maharaj was looking for the Lord, and he went to help him as his spiritual master. And he told him, first of all, you should go home and reconcile. This is the duty of every person to live in harmony with others. You shouldn't consider this such a great offense. You should go back. And Dhruva Maharaj said, well, then I'm going without you. I'm going no matter what. That was his determination. And then Narada Muni, seeing that he had passed his test, gave him instruction about how to realize Krishna. And Dhruva did that. So devotional service, entering the path of devotional service, means we have to have determination. There will be obstacles. There are obstacles from the mind, from the senses especially, and apparently from other living entities. But if we're determined, then we can overcome all those obstacles by Krishna's direction from within the heart, and he will also give us direction externally by sending his instruction from the spiritual master or spiritual masters. So if we want to have guidance, as Dhruva Maharaj received guidance, we should also have the same determination that Dhruva Maharaj had. Being engaged in devotional service, as I was saying, is a matter of practical application of the senses. Atashri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grayam indriyai sevan muhi hijivado swayam eva spuratyada. The Padma Purana says that by engaging our tongue, first of all the senses, if we engage the tongue in Krishna's service, then by that, Krishna will be pleased to reveal himself to us. And this is the process of devotional service. It means beginning to regulate the senses and follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas by following the standard program passed down to us. And this way, gradually, the senses will become purified. And we'll go through the step-by-step process of purification and an increasing of faith within our heart for the process of devotional service, and we'll attain taste as we gradually go through that process. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni, when he was a little boy, heard from great sages who stayed at his house for 4 months during the rainy season. His mother was serving them during the Chaturmasya. And by their association, by taking the remnants of their food, he became purified by hearing their words, by hearing their instructions about how to take to devotional service. Just after they left his home, his mother was bitten by a snake and died. And even though he was a little boy, Narada Muni left his house and began wandering the countryside, going through forests, going through towns, passing factories. Prabhupada mentions that it's good to see the creation of the Lord, see different aspects, and become acquainted with how the Lord's maintaining every living creature. So Narada stopped in a forest, and he began to meditate And the Lord appeared to him, and Narada became enlivened in ecstasy. It's described how every one of his senses simultaneously became enlivened in their service to Krishna. Each sense that we have, actually, the body's made of senses. The material body is only a representative of our covered senses, but we have spiritual senses, and his spiritual senses became enlivened in Krishna's service, each one simultaneously wanting to run after Krishna. And it's described how he was swimming in an ocean of bliss, seeing Krishna. And then the Lord disappeared, and he was in great anxiety to see him again. So mechanically, he tried to control his breath. He tried to fix the form of Krishna in his mind, but it wasn't coming. And then in an unembodied voice, the Lord spoke to him and said that because you're not perfect in this life, you can't see me again like this. You have to work for the devotional service. You have to perform your duties in devotional service, and then you'll come to me. And that's what Narada did the rest of his life, performed devotional service, and at the end he got a spiritual body. He came back to Krishna. So the beginning of devotional service means there's a little faith in the process, adau shraddha tata sadusanga. And from that, we get the association of devotees. When we have faith, we'll want to associate with devotees and be in their company. And from that association with devotees, we'll begin the regulated process of devotional service, means engaging the senses in Krishna service. And then we go through the process of purification and gradually come to a stage of steadiness in devotional service. And then there are higher stages of taste and attachment and devotional service and ecstasy and devotional service and pure love of God. This is a progression, a step-by-step path which leads us to the perfection of devotional service. And all these things and directions are given by the Goswamis in their literatures, like the Nectar of Devotion, the Nectar of Instruction, by understanding the Bhagavad Gita, reading daily, and taking instruction from our spiritual master. Then we can gradually make advancement in devotional service. And at every step, there's happiness in devotional service, even while we are struggling with the mind and the senses. The attraction of Krishna and the happiness in devotional service is so strong that we'll be moved progressively forward in our service. And a complete life of devotional service, of practice throughout our life, even including missteps or mistakes that we make, will make us complete throughout this lifetime. And this is the purpose of life, is to come to this position of completeness in devotional service, where we're completely dedicated to the Lord. So entering the ocean of devotional service means to take up the regulated process under the direction of the Goswamis, as they've instructed in their literature, taking shelter of a spiritual master, beginning the process of bhajana kriya, counting our rounds every day, coming up to the standard of 16 rounds, which is mandated for us by our acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and following four regulative principles, and then hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. All these activities will lead us progressively to the perfection of devotional service. They're so powerful, especially five that are mentioned out of 64, that is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshiping the deity, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, and living in a holy place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami, even if one casually does those five, or has actually some connection with them on a regular basis, that a person will make advancement in devotional service very easily. So many of us live outside the temple. We have jobs, we have obligations, and it can seem overwhelming. But if we regulate ourselves even a little bit and start the process where we have connection to at least these five processes on a regular basis, and even if we start in a small way, in a humble way, with faith, gradually Krishna will make all arrangements in our life that we can enter fully into the process of devotional service and attain complete perfection in this lifetime. So this is just a few introductory comments. I just wanted to make a connection with all of you. This is a sort of a impersonal kind of a medium because I can't see you all, and I wish I could. And but I'm very happy just to be connected again with you because it was so nice being there last week, and I wanted to reconnect and just go on with the conversation about devotional service and how to make advancement. Those are a few thoughts, and we have about 15 minutes, so if there are a couple of questions or comments, if Loka can regulate somehow or another how we can take those, then I'll answer those. Hare Krishna.
Hello?
Yeah, if yeah, people have questions, they can come up for comments.
Prabhu mentioned there are, you know, five steps, and he mentioned that even if, you know, he can casually do those things for a period of time, we can get more concentration, consciousness. So, can Prabhu repeat the five again? What said?
Yes, sure. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, living in a holy place, chanting Hare Krishna, and worshiping the deity. Now, those are, out of 64 items of devotional service, those are five that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally emphasized to Sanatana Goswami. And then he said, out of those five, one is the most prominent. And that if you do that one, then you can also attain the results of everything else. And that's chanting Hare Krishna.
Okay. Thank you.
So the program that Srila Prabhupada started in ISKCON, it keeps us in contact with all of these, actually. In fact, there's 64 that we can be in contact with through ISKCON. But if we see very carefully how to balance our lives, because we may be busy or we may have other kinds of obligations at the time, how to stay in contact at least with these five on a regular basis, then this is a good way to stay encouraged in devotional service and to make advancement.
Hare Krishna,
another question?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, you're welcome. Another question?
I had a question, Prabhu. This is Lokadaksha.
Yes.
Initially, when we are starting out in devotional service, we come across many obstacles like laziness or doubts and things like that. how do we? What's the practical way to overcome some of these common obstacles? Lack of enthusiasm.
Well, doubts and lack of enthusiasm can be overcome by association, because we're really a product of our association. If we were to essentialize devotional service, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did when he was asked, what's a devotee? He said, asat sanga tyag e vaishnavachar. He said, a devotee is somebody who avoids bad association. And so, as we mentioned in the five most important items of devotional service, association with devotees is very important. So by associating with enthusiastic devotees, we'll also become enthusiastic. We pick up the qualities of the people that we're around. And I have a good friend, devotee friend, that every year I travel to Japan with. His name's Satyadev Prabhu. And Satyadev, he likes butter. I never practically eat butter, but I noticed a few years ago when I was traveling with him in Japan for about a month, and everywhere he'd go, he'd ask for butter. When I came home, I said, can I have some butter? And I realized, why did I want butter? It's because I've been associating with Satyadev for a month. Because he eats butter, now I eat butter. And when Prabhupada was once asked how to become a good devotee, he said, just like you become a drunkard. If you want to become a good drunkard, you go and associate with drunkards. And you can see what they do, you can associate with them, and then after a while, you'll get good at it, and you'll be just like they are. So it takes some impetus to be in the association of devotees, but if we just put ourselves in proximity with devotees who are enthusiastic and who don't have doubts, our doubts will be cleared. And really, that's our duty. We should clear our doubts. Hearing Bhagavad Gita is very important. That's something everybody can do every day. Bhagavad Gita is directly Krishna. There's no difference. And if you sit down with Bhagavad Gita every day and hear Krishna's words, they're so clear. He's speaking directly to you. You read one chapter. It doesn't matter Sanskrit, but if you hear at least the English and the words that Krishna's speaking, he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, anyone who studies this sacred dialogue worships me by his intelligence. So any doubts that we have can be cleared just by hearing Bhagavad Gita regularly and associating with faithful devotees.
How can we develop faith in the scriptures? Many times a doubt may come that I don't really know who wrote the scriptures and how do I know they come from Krishna and things like that. Maybe somebody changed them or I don't know whether they are really true or not. Many different kind of doubts come, and how can one overcome them and then become fixed in the words of the scriptures?
Well, one thing is that the Shastra is Krishna. There's no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. Krishna swa dhammo bhagate dharma ganadi disaha kalo nashta drishamesha purar narko tunodita. When Krishna left the planet, his personal incarnation, his personal manifestation, then Srimad Bhagavatam came to light the world. And just like the sun, you can say, well, you know, what is the sun? I doubt what it is. But if you just look at it, you can tell it's effulgent. It's got heat, it's got light. And in the springtime, when the sun becomes more prominent and comes out and starts warming the earth, then all the flowers come out. Springtime means the sun is making it making everything manifest. It's coming alive. So if we associate with Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, we'll also come alive. And we'll have direct experience. The process of devotional service is not speculative. It's a direct experience. Pratyaksham. Krishna says that this is a direct experience we have. So devotional service is not a matter of studying Indology and trying to figure out the dates. You know, did such and such a thing happen at a certain time? In fact, Indologists, they argue about the dates themselves. And once Prabhupada said, let them agree themselves and then they can come to us and say and argue about when the shastras are manifest or not manifest. But the fact is that, like when you eat food, the Bhagavatam gives this example. Bhakti parishanu bhavo virakti ranyata traisha trika ekakala prapadyamanasya yatasnyata tushti pushti shudapayonugasam. A hungry man who eats food feels nourishment, satisfaction, and his hunger goes away. He knows for himself. No one has to give him a certificate and say, you're becoming full. He knows. So Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are like that. Anyone who will hear from them will directly experience that they're Krishna because they'll feel nourishment, they'll feel satisfaction. You get bhakti, which means you'll feel devotion for Krishna naturally because it's our natural feeling to have devotion for someone, you know, if we don't have devotion for God, we'll direct that towards animals and, you know, other people. But that'll come out towards Krishna. We'll naturally feel that. Also, we'll have direct perception of Krishna for ourselves. Bhakti, and then most importantly, we'll feel virakti, which means detachment from the world. This is a good test, because you can tell, as you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita in the Association of Devotees, you will not feel the pinching of the senses as much. The senses talk to us all the time, and they demand things from us. I was chanting japa peacefully the other day, and my tongue said, go get something to eat. And I said, who said that? And it was the tongue speaking very loudly to me. And I realized, yes, these senses do talk. And as we advance in devotional service and get a taste for these scriptures, actually, we'll be so attached to them that our attachment to the material world will diminish naturally, just like when you eat food and someone comes and says, do you want more? And you say, no, I don't want any more. I'm full. You know you're full. You don't have to speculate about it. So devotional service is a direct process. And we only have to take it on a regular basis, and the medicine will act. In the beginning, Rupa Goswami says, we may just have to take the medicine on faith, just like we have to have some faith in the doctor who says, take this medicine, you'll get better. And at first we don't see the effect, but we have to take it out of faith, and then gradually we'll get little glimpses, and then it will become more and more clear that this is acting. And then we'll want to take it all the time, because we realize how effective it is.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for that wonderful answer, Prabhu. This is Gurudas. I have a question.
Yes.
How can you impart to us ways that you deal with people reject your approaches to give them Krishna conscious material? Usually what happens in my mind when I get rejection is, I come down very hard on myself. Oh, you nonsense. You know, you're not representing Krishna very nicely. And I don't think that's a very balanced, you know, approach or thing to tell myself. So what are some methods that you have that are tried and true that can help us deal with when rejections come?
Oh, nice question. Thanks, Guru Prabhu. Well, one thing is, the main thing is experience. Because over time, when we have experience in anything, then we know that maybe sometimes people reject it, but again, and they take it later. It's not a bad thing also to feel that I wasn't up to the mark when I presented it. I mean, we should always feel like there's some room for improvement on my part. But also, I've seen over time in presenting Krishna consciousness, for instance, distributing books, there's probably thousands of times when I've met people who immediately rejected it, and then a little while later they came back and accepted it. And so we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the mind is accepting and rejecting things, and it's not unusual for people to, when they see something, to immediately reject it. I've seen it even when, for instance, if I present a book and people say, oh no, I can't take it because I'm a Christian or something like that. And then we talk about it a little bit and then they say, okay, I'll take it. So it's a matter of people are on the mental platform and it's difficult for them to take it. And also, Prabhupada tells the story about a brahmachari who was going door to door collecting alms for the temple. And he came to a house where there was a household couple who were fighting inside. And they were in a very bad mood. So when they came to the door and he asked for some donation, the woman of the house said, give him some ashes. So the man took some ashes out of the fireplace and said, here's your donation, now go away. So the brahmachari took those ashes back to the temple and he asked the pujari to use them to polish the brass for the deities.
Mm.
Then a few months later, he accidentally went back to that same door, and those householders got purified because their offering had been engaged in the Lord's service. And they begged him to come inside, and they apologized, and they wanted to remove their offense, and they became engaged in devotional service. So many times, people have come to Krishna consciousness for one reason or another, or rejected it for one reason or another, but because of contact, they've come back into devotional service. And you can also see from the examples of great acharyas who went preaching Krishna consciousness, they were also rejected. Look at Prabhupada. He went personally to distribute his Bhakti Guided magazine in all kinds of offices and many different places, and many people rejected him. That's why he wrote the article, Chronic Disease of Modern Man, No Time. So this is actually a purification for the preacher of Krishna consciousness to go out and see how the modes of nature are working, how the mind is working, and some people take, some people don't take. We should always be trying to increase our skill and find out ways. And every time we get rejected, we can actually discover new ways to present to people so that they will take it the next time. This is the great adventure of preaching Krishna consciousness to many kinds of people. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, thanks, Prabhu.
This is Vidarbha here. Just had a question about the holy name. We say that, you know, the holy name is non-different from Krishna, and yet sometimes, we hear about how the holy name, by chanting the holy name, will actually realize the personal form of Krishna, and sometimes it seems like the personal form is higher, or, you know, just getting the personal association. So if there's no difference, then why do we strive for the personal association of the personal form, A? And two, why do the devotees then feel separation while they're chanting?
Well, Rupa Goswami says there's vacham and vachakam. There's the personal form of the Lord, and then there's the name of the Lord, and there's no difference between the two at all. They're absolute. But he says, of the two, there is a distinction because the holy name is even more merciful than the personal form of the Lord. Because even one who's rejected the personal form of the Lord, the holy name will still approach that person and give him a chance to chant. And when he does chant, then it merges him in an ocean of happiness. And he can then approach the Lord again. So it's a matter of realization. And while we're chanting the holy name of the Lord, we also have to actively be avoiding the 10 offenses. A life of devotional service, of chanting Hare Krishna, which is our main business, to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, is also a life of avoiding the 10 offenses actively. In other words, the first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. So what's the active form of avoiding that? It's to always be glorifying the devotees of the Lord, to go out of our way to glorify the devotees. That's the positive form. So if we're doing that, also, it will help us to appreciate the holy name even more and be more fixed in that. It's a matter of realization, that's all. And as we cultivate the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself. It's a descending process. His personality, his qualities, everything is there within the holy name. And the great acharyas have said it over and over again, and we're following in their footsteps. So we should go on with our process of chanting, as you gave that example the other day with the chataka bird. It waits and waits for the water to come from the sky. And if we get hit with a thunderbolt, that's okay. We don't mind. We go on chanting with faith. And gradually Krishna will reveal himself completely to us. So we have to wait and wait for the name to descend.
Mm. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, I have a question here.
Jai.
Speaking of devotional service, as a beginner, it's always mixed with a lot of material suffering and material desires. mean, as an ignorant person, what platform should I use to measure the advancement of devotional service? Because I should be always looking for spiritual basis or a material basis.
You were breaking up just a little bit. Can you try repeating that one more time? I'm very sorry.
Sure. What I wanted to ask is, when we start out in devotional service, it's mostly suffering and material desire. Go on, the faith builds up, but in the beginning phases, when we start, how do we? What platform should we use to measure the devotional service? Because it's always mixed with some expectations.
With some what?
With some expectations.
Expectation, yeah. Well, we always measure our devotional service by the connection with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because all the answers are there in Shastra, and to help us understand what the Shastra means, we have Guru. And then there's the example and instructions of Sadhus who are very advanced in devotional service. So we should measure our advancement with these three. By seeing in Shastra what is the actual standard, and then we have to connect with our guru and ask, am I up to the standard? And we be very active in that way and find out how I'm making advancement in devotional service. And there, in ISKCON, there are many advanced devotees that we can approach and talk to and get guidance from and find out how we're doing and how we're making advancement in devotional service. That way we always stay... we're always in a measured way we can understand how we're doing in devotional service. That association and guidance is very important. It's compared in the Shastra to a ship with a rudder. If we don't have those, then we're like a ship without a rudder. So take guidance, Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, and then you can check in and see how you're doing in your devotional service. Did I answer your question?
Prabhu.
Okay. Loka Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu.
I think I don't want to keep everyone longer because we said 45 minutes and I should keep to that, right?
As you desire, Prabhu, yes.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's just such a pleasure that, even though I can't see you, I feel connected and it's very nice. And please keep up all the wonderful devotional service you're doing out there. I had such a nice visit when I was in Washington, D.C. The mood, the family mood there of all the devotees working together and cooperating in service is the spiritual world. There's no difference. So just go on increasing that. It's the most wonderful life, and Krishna will protect us as we go on in devotional service. Especially serving the Vaishnavas, thinking how we can do service to the other devotees is very pleasing to Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Prabhu, I had a real quick comment. Nirupama was trying to find, you know, some kirtans of yours online, and she wasn't able to find. Do you know any place where your kirtans might be posted?
I don't, actually, but maybe if you... if you ask somebody like Ramananda Saka or something, he can find out for you where they are. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll get in touch with him then.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Vancha kalpaturubhyascha krupasanabhyascha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Jai.
I'd like to request those of you who joined later, who didn't announce, if you can just announce. For the okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose we have joined later, Mukesh and Sumita and Samriddhi.
Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can we hear you again? This is
Hare Krishna. Pardon me.
Can we hear you again?
I couldn't hear that.
When can we hear you again?
Oh, I know. I'll work out with Loka because I'd like to stay in touch. So yeah. I'll talk to Loka and we'll figure out some schedule.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.